Naples. Away day conundrum continues. Losing again at the Etihad to Manchester City, who go 4 points ahead of Liverpool in the table. We're still 1 point off the Champions League, but certainly on a slot, and we trust that man. He will get our away form going this season. We trust him. But a disappointing day today. Mamardashvili, after conceding a penalty through VAR intervention on Doku, Haaland's penalty was saved, but Haaland opened the scoring. Liverpool, this is a bad goal, the opening goal. Cross from the right-hand side. Nunes, far too much time and space to cross it. Konate should have headed it clear. He missed it. It went in off Haaland's shoulder. Then Van Dijk had a goal disallowed for a VAR intervention. They said Robertson interfering with the keeper's eyeline. Nico Gonzalez deflected off Van Dijk for 2-0 first off stoppage time. Doku with a worldie. It's a bad day for Liverpool before the international break. City 3, Liverpool 0.
Steve Hunter summing up what's been a tough afternoon for the Reds over at the Etihad. Goals from Erling Haaland, Nico Gonzalez and Jeremy Doku mean what's been a really positive week for Liverpool ends on a rather difficult note. We will be getting the thoughts of Arne Slot shortly here on The Reaction. I'm Becky Davis and I was joined in the studio by Jason McAteer and Neil Mellor whilst Jan Molby was over at the Etihad for us. Plus, we've got contributions too from Alex Gildertrott, Stephanie Rolfs and Jose Andreas Orozco-Mora from the official Liverpool Supporters Club in Costa Rica. Jason, I think there will be fair frustrations about some things not going Liverpool's way today, but overall, possibly you kind of have to hold your hands up and go, maybe the best team won this afternoon.
Yeah, listen, I think if you look at the form we were in and then you look at the three games, the Villa, Real Madrid and then Manchester City, three big games, to ask for 9 points coming out of the period we were in was going to be a big ask. Villa, you know, we spoke about post-match, didn't we? Went back to basics, went back to familiarity. There was experience in the team. I thought they played really well and deserved the victory. It was a stepping stone on to going into playing against Real Madrid, where the performance was outstanding. So efficient, brilliant. Everything about that performance was great. Result was brilliant. And then, you know, you're asking them to go again. Was it 3 days, 4 days later against Manchester City, who kind of found a bit of momentum. They were in a good place. Was always going to be a difficult ask. And the game kind of went that way in the sense of it was a bit flat from Liverpool. The invention, the guile wasn't there. You know, I'm not saying the fight wasn't there, but they were just second to everything. And Manchester City, you know, it was a great start for them. They got the penalty, they got themselves in front. And I always felt, I know I didn't say it in post-match, but I always felt whoever got in front first today would eventually go on and win the game.
First goal felt big, but the second goal just before half-time as well, Mel's, felt huge really, didn't it? The timing of that was a real killer.
Yeah, another miserable away day, which is a concern because that's too many recently. I think we all had great confidence going into it on the back of the result and performance against Real Madrid, thinking, God, it's given us a lift. We needed that lift after a few recent results. But the performance levels weren't the same. I think City won the game in that first half, you know, and maybe that second goal was a real killer right on the stroke of half-time. Yeah. I felt as though a response was there from Liverpool. And, OK, you're 2-0 down. You can say, why don't you do that at 0-0? But there was a response. And a big moment was the Gakpo miss at 2-0. If that goes in and Liverpool started the second half well, all of a sudden, the momentum changes. We might have got something out of the game. Not that maybe we deserved it. The third goal was against the run of play for City. It was an absolute worldie. City won 3-0. Felt as though maybe it flattered them a little bit. They were better than us. But I don't feel as though City created loads of clear-cut chances. The first one, it's defensive error. I think we should deal with that. Don't think they have to work too hard to create that one. Second one's a deflection, third one's a worldie. What are the chances? Where did they open us up?
You can pick the bones out of the goals, you can, and you could say, listen, we should have defended that, we should have stopped the cross, Konate should have flicked it on instead of, you know, should have put it back to where it came from instead of trying to flick it on and miss. You can analyse the goals like that and argue, slightly fortunate in some circumstances. But I just thought City, they were worthy of the win today. You know, if Liverpool had got anything out of it, I would have said we were lucky. I don't think Liverpool really deserved anything.
I'm not arguing with that, but I'm saying a 3-0 sounds like an absolute hammering. And in terms of...
No, it doesn't.
We've had moments where
You can be 3-0 and be soundly beat. Listen, they were the better team
today. They were the better team. No argument.
Had it been 4-5 or 6, I might have gone, it's not a 4-5 or 6er. But a 3-0, I kind of go, watched it, I get it. I get a 3-0.
It's made more painful, isn't it, by the fact that it feels like progress has been made this week, Mels. And you can't forget that, despite the way that today has gone. But that control and assurance that has been back in the last two games, they just didn't seem to ever really get a foothold today.
No. Like I said before, it's a case of we didn't reach those same levels as what we did do against Real Madrid. I think what we've seen so far this season from Liverpool, we can beat anybody on our day. Shown that against Arsenal, we've shown that against Real Madrid. But there are going to be times where that consistency level is not there like last season. And that might cost us being involved in the title race, but it doesn't mean we're not going to have a successful season. You know, there's still, I think the Champions League may become a little bit more of an important competition for us. We've played 11 Premier League games and we've lost 5. That is an issue at the moment. But this group of players have shown they can beat some of the best sides in terms of the Arsenal, the Real Madrid performance. Today was a poor one. Today was a poor performance, and the consistency levels away from home is a bit of a concern at the moment.
I just think as well, Miles, I just think from where we came from off the back of them, was it 5 defeats, 5 league defeats?
Yeah.
I think the emotion that was poured into the Villa game, because we're at a point now where we can't afford to lose any more games. You're going to be out the title race from now on. And I think that is filtered into the dressing room. That's filtered into the mindset of the players and the staff. Like, we're kind of not hanging on, but we don't have any more cards to play. And I think there was a lot of emotion went into that game. He changed a lot. He went back to basics, and there was a lot of emotion in that Villa game. We came through it, and it was a bit of a like,
that's at Anfield,
well
though.
Done. Yeah,
that's at Anfield.
Yeah, but
I'm not worried about Anfield.
Just the fact that the fixture, just the fact of where we were, it doesn't matter where it was, we needed a win, and we got it. And everyone went, oof, okay, I like that. And then you go back into a massive game against Real Madrid. Now, I don't care what you say. At any point you play Real Madrid, it's a massive fixture,
yeah,
and everyone is on it. And you're psychologically in the moment. You're physically in the moment. The adrenaline's pumping through. I always think you do get a downturn after that. I mean, you've played in big games yourself. You know, you feel a bit flat, don't you?
Yeah.
Because, you know, them games are few and far between. Them games are like the ones you really want to play.
Yeah,
in.
It's a good
There's a lot
point,
of emotion goes into
energy,
that game.
The energy, the intensity that we saw.
The crowd was frightening.
It's a great point.
Huge,
it's a great point because City didn't have that same emotion for their
Champions League game.
They played Dortmund, they brushed them aside. And they knew for them that it was all about this game on the Sunday against us. Now, we knew how big the game was, but also for us, because we'd been beaten at Galatasaray, we had to sort of win that home game against Real Madrid.
But the problem, Mel, is as well. Sorry to cut you up, but the problem is as well, the manager's actually at a point where he doesn't know whether to stick or twist by changing the team. He's kind of looked at it today and gone, this might be one too many. Can I throw, you know, 3 or 4 different players into this team? Now, he's looking for consistency. He's looking to build on what he's done.
He's also
in
probably
such
thinking
a big game.
The international break is coming up. So it's like asking them to go to the well one more time. And
exactly.
Then
he's gone the well, exactly. You know, for that phrase, he's gone the well one too many times. And unfortunately, he's come up against the City team in momentum at home. You know, not been physically exhausted like Liverpool had been against Madrid, and he's gone and won the game, Pep. You know, they've just we're at it a little bit more. I agree with you, the performance levels just weren't at it today.
The disallowed goal obviously will be a talking point. I mean, at the point that happens, it's a decision that could potentially go on and shape the match, isn't it? But what were your thoughts on that before we bring in the fan panel, which we'll do shortly?
Well, yeah, I mean, it changes everything. You go 1-1, it changes the momentum. It puts a little bit of doubt in City.
Yeah.
It gives everyone a lift for Liverpool. I think what I would say is I wasn't surprised to see it disallowed because of the rules.
Mm.
Do I think the goalkeeper would have saved it? No. Do I think Andy Robertson put him off? I think the goalie can only answer that because of the position he's stood in. He's not in his eye line, but he is in close enough proximity to have put the goalkeeper off. And I'm sure the officials will hide behind that as a rule. I don't think the goalkeeper saved that, but I wasn't surprised to see it.
I think the problem you had with the decision is Andy Robertson is standing on the left side of the goalkeeper. The ball is going to the left side of the goalkeeper. So he's diving past Andy Robertson. If the header's here and Andy Robertson's there and the keeper dives this way to his right, he's not really affecting him. But the fact Andy Robertson's ducked, he's diving across his line.
To give you the official wording, the tweet. So they say, Robertson judged to be in an offside position, deemed to be making an obvious action, directly in front of the goalkeeper, which is him ducking out of the way of the ball, Miles.
Yeah, if that would have been given the other way for us, we'd have wanted that to have been disallowed. Yeah. And as much as sort of it was frustrating, because we hadn't created a great deal before then. No. You're thinking, right, we're back in the game. We're back in the game and we can go again. I think another frustration as well, I'm saying we created a couple of big chances. I think the first shot on target was like 20 minutes to go. So we didn't really test the goalkeeper, and that was the one from Soboslai. Mm. Think of Gakpo's big chance, Salah's big chance. Game felt as though it had gone by that point, though.
Right, let's bring in our fan panel. We have got Alex, Stephanie and Jose all ready to give us their thoughts. Alex, I'll come to yourself. I'm sure you share the disappointment of us here in the studio.
I actually disagree with the lads on the set. I do think the goal should have stood, because I don't think that Andy Robertson is diverting or delaying the dive from the keeper. I think the ball's already past him. He's not getting near it. I know the dive, you know, it's a smooth motion. It's not half and he's kind of looking around. He goes for it and he's nowhere near it. So massively unlucky there. But again, we can't just look at that. The lads have alluded to it there. It's a poor performance all round. One shot on target. For me, it was the amount of offsides today. I can't remember us having that many offside decisions against us in a game. And listen, there was no chemistry. I don't think the midfield really grappled hold of this game. I don't think they were playing those line-cutting passes, especially in the early phases, as we would have liked. I think the energy exerted on a Wednesday has shown, and Jason makes a good point there. I think it's maybe a game too far without tinkering a little bit and bringing in some faces. I would have liked to have seen Isak, but I understood the mindset of Slot not to bring him on at 3-0 down to risk injury. But maybe it is time for just a little spruce up when it comes round to Forest after the international break. Put a few fresh faces in. It's a home game. And I agree with the lads. I think lose one more game now, and not mathematically, but categorically, I would say Liverpool are out of the title race if they lose one more game in the next 29 odd.
Yeah, it's very rare a side would lose more than five games and win a Premier League title. Stephanie, you've been watching over in America, I believe. What was your take on that today at the Etihad?
Yeah, I was really excited to see the same lineup that we had for a really successful game at Real Madrid. But the first half was, it felt good. The energy felt really great. But the second half, you could really feel that it was the third game in, what, 7-8 days? The energy was really sluggish. The communications seemed to have struggles again. We did see some positives. Vert's defending was really promising. The handful of fouls that he just kind of forced were amazing. Connor Bradley really showed up again. We did see sparks of hope. Cody did make an instant impact. It stinks that his chances were missed, but it was a rough match today. It makes me even more grateful for the Real Madrid and the Aston Villa wins this week.
Okay, thoughts of Jose now. Jose, you've been watching over in Costa Rica. A difficult watch, that one. What was your take?
Yeah, actually, we had our screening here in Costa Rica, and we were all talking about the importance of making a good impression in today's match. I agree with Neil, as football is a momentum game, and we definitely needed a better performance today. Unfortunately, it was a little bit off on our side, but I think that the disallowed goal was a key moment in the game, and well, now I believe we have an international break and we will need to regroup and go again.
Yeah, I'll come back to you, Alex, because that is, I suppose, a real sort of sour note to go into the international break on. And that is obviously with the progress, as we say, that have been made in the last two games. Disappointing now for the boss that he lets the players go away, and they maybe will be helped by being in a different environment. That might help them process the result quicker. But for Arne Slot, he will be at the AXA training centre and ruminating over it, you would imagine, for a few days.
Yeah, time to get back to the drawing board for Arne. He needs to work out another plan, because we've seen all the attacking options that Liverpool have got now on the pitch, and we still don't really have that kind of fluidity up top where everyone's chipping in with goals and assists. I think when you look at the players available, it doesn't reflect where Liverpool are on the table right now. But yeah, I think the international break, it's funny, isn't it? If Liverpool had won today, we would have been saying the momentum's so good. We don't want an international break. We want to keep on going. But with the break in coming now, again, we touch wood for no injuries to the squad. But when they come back now against Forest, who have just won today, the atmosphere has to be massive. It has to be a win now for Liverpool. Every single game now, the eyes, the ears, all the attention will be on Liverpool. Can they put a run together? And I think, look, there was glimpses of today's game which showed good promise. We opened City up a few times, had a few different chances, couldn't convert any of them. And actually, one of the most disappointing things for me today is we've lost the record of consecutive games scored. I think it would have been 46 or 47 in a row since September last season against Forest, funnily enough. So that's disappointing to me that we didn't even score one goal. But yeah, listen, like Jose says, you have to regroup. It's a big annoyance for the players to have to sit on this result, like you say, Becky, to process it. But again, we have to come back now and beat Forest and get on some kind of run. It was two steps forward, three steps back today. But in context, if someone at the start of the week said, right, you can win two games out of the next three, with the form that we did have, you probably would have said, yeah, go on then. But to not even score today, I think, will be Liverpool's biggest disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, the result is obviously the biggest overall disappointment. But just in terms of, you know, when we're talking about the players having a bit of a break, as players yourselves, did you, when something didn't go right, did you just want to get straight back out there on the pitch? Or will it help them maybe to go away and try and process it in a different environment?
Well, I was going away to Ireland, wasn't I? So I was always looking forward to getting away and getting over there. Listen, it is nice to get into a different environment, you know, when you're in this situation. And we know the scrutiny that, you know, the Liverpool Football Club comes under. It's the biggest club in the world. Everyone has an opinion. There'll be a lot of noise again. It'll be a lot of critics will be, you know, going for Liverpool. So for the players to get away, not read it, not be involved in it is a good thing. On the flip side of that, you know, for a manager, you know, we spoke about it at Chelsea. We did the Chelsea game. It's probably the worst time to lose your players. And Liverpool's littered with internationals. You know, 90% of the team goes away. He'll want to get back on the training ground. He'll want to analyse. He'll want to talk to his players. He'll want to regroup. You can't really do that for an international break. I think it's a double header as well, isn't it? It's tough. There is the dust settling and there is the element of, listen, we've gone the well maybe one too many times. So it's kind of like we kind of know what's going on. But he would like to have his hands on them, I'm sure.
I think the worry is that after a result like this, you want to play again quickly to try and put it right. And it feels like the international break allows us to think about it quite a while. And the worry is, and I think Alex made the point about wanting to be at it against Forest, and we all do, but who's going to be fit? Because they're all away on the international breaks. Mm. Who's playing for what country? Who's still got a chance to play for the place in the World Cup? Who might be rested? So the concern is that when we play on a Saturday rather than a Sunday after international break, where the lads been? And that is always a concern after the international break. So they're not going to be rested and raring to go. And that is always a worry after the international break. A third international break this season, it just completely disrupts the momentum. We'd had a couple of good results, beaten at City, thinking, right, we want to play again midweek. Got to wait 2 weeks before another game.
It has felt disjointed, hasn't it? I suppose the only positive is that this is the final one now until the end of March. So when they come back, he has them with him for the best part of 4 months, that is, Jason.
Yeah, I agree with Mels. I think, you know, there is a big argument at the minute, isn't it, about the amount of football, you know, the lads are playing, certainly from a Liverpool point of view. And it is disappointing when you are trying to create some momentum and, you know, you worry about keeping players fit. But I suppose, you know, listen, if we were sitting top of the table, you know, 6 points clear, I don't think we'd be having this conversation, but we're not. So we are. So, yeah, there's a lot of football. I think come the game we play against Forest when we come back from international break, I think you'll see wholesale changes, I think. Because like you just said, I think that's where he'll look at who's been where, who needs the rest, who's got minutes in the tank. You know, I think you will see a wholesale change. Yeah. Plus, it's at home. I know there's been a slight turn by Forrest, but you'd expect him to have enough making five or six changes.
I don't worry at Anfield. It's the away form at the moment. City, tough game. Chelsea, tough game. They never deserve to beat us. But losing to Brentford, losing to Palace. Mm. All of a sudden, there's four away games we haven't picked anything up from. And the next three, I'm looking at the next three, Jace. Do you agree or not? We've got West Ham, Leeds and Spurs before Christmas away. We've got to improve away from home with our results, haven't we?
Oh, we have. Yeah, if you want to win the title, you know, you've got to pick up points away from home. You can't just rely on your home form. And, you know, Liverpool, you know, historically have been brilliant away from home under Jürgen and Slot last season. So, you know, it is a cause for concern. it's how we get beat away from home that gives me cause for concern, yeah. Because we don't seem to know or have a formula to play against teams that basically want to bully us. You know, it's easier for a manager to set up a home with the likes of a Brentford and play a physical game because you're at home, the crowd's behind you, you're in Liverpool's faces, you're getting winning second balls, you're pumping balls long, you're asking questions of the defenders. You can do that away, you can do that at your home ground. And Liverpool can't cope when they come up against teams who want to basically bully Liverpool. They've got to come up with a formula somehow of combating that kind of physical aspect of what they're throwing up away from home.
I'm sure that what will be what Arne Slot is thinking about over these 2 weeks when he doesn't have the players with him. Let's just go back to our fan panel. We are getting some reaction very shortly from over at the Etihad, but I'll bring in Stephanie before we get Mark Benstead with Jan Molby over at Manchester City. Stephanie, we're just talking about the international break and obviously going into it on what is undoubtedly a bit of a downer, but let's try and make it positive. What has pleased you from the rest of this week overall, and what do you want to see more of when Liverpool do return against Nottingham Forest?
I hope they all just get a chance to shake it all off and come back. We were able to bounce back after the last international break, so I feel like it's just a good opportunity to just kind of reset, regroup, come back. Hopefully everyone is fit. I know they probably won't be rested, but I just feel like they're going to have a good fire under their belly. And when these guys get focused and they are motivated, there's no stopping them. So I'm excited to see what they do when they come back. But Jason and Neil, you guys were talking about how our form away from home isn't great right now. What do you think the managers need to do in order to change that and to fix that? What do they need to focus on?
Oh,
is that a question for me?
It is a question.
Sorry, I was looking at Mel's stats. He's wrote through the game now. Mel's, he just writes stats, millions of stats.
He's got a lot of stats.
That what I've written down is Gakpo, big chance. Salah, big chance. You can't read me right. Top safe.
I know. And the funny thing is, I can't even read it because I'm blind.
Need to get your glasses on.
I know.
I think to answer that, we need to sort our clean sheets out away from home. I think that's a big issue, isn't it? How do we sort our away form? And you mentioned about being bullied for certain games, Brentford. I don't see that for sort of the West Ham and maybe Leeds game, maybe slightly different approaches. But
I think Leeds.
Leeds?
Yeah.
Long I think, throw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, the games, I'm actually enjoying the Premier League this season. I mean, I was looking today, statistically, it's actually gone back to 95-96 season when I was playing, meaning there's less offsides, it's some similar to the 95-96, long throws, long balls, sorry, long passes.
Very precise, 95-96, weren't you?
No, there's someone, I was reading today to the Athletic, read about it. these young lads here say long passes, don't they? Long balls, you know, there's more long balls. So, you know, Liverpool have been maybe caught a little bit cold with the way teams are actually going against them, you know, these long throws. We just need to stand up to the challenge when it becomes physical. You know, and that's just about going back to basics. That's like winning headers. That's like clearing your lines. That's like doing the basics really easy, working your way into the game. You know, don't start fast and open. You know, you can start fast, but you can be, you know, you can give up possession and be solid and then take your opportunities and work your way into the game. That's what Liverpool have got to do. They've got to just work their way into away games.
And obviously 95-96 must have been a lot of struggled away from home teams, because I'm looking at the away teams, away performances now. City have lost two away. Arsenal went up to Sunderland, dropped points. I feel as though the big teams are finding it even harder. Mm-hmm. That may be 3 or 4 years ago where we're going thinking, we'll go on a good run. We know we're going to win at Anfield. We know we can win 3 or 4 away from home as well. I think it's a lot harder for the top teams now to be going to your Brentford, your Brighton, your Bournemouth.
Do you know what I think happens? What happens there? You know, let's use Brentford for an example. Let's say what you're saying there, like 3 or 4 seasons ago, whatever manager Brentford had back then, it would have been Thomas Frank, wouldn't it? You know, when they play up against the Fulham, they see that as an opportunity at home to take 3 points. So they'll play their tactical game plan. They'll play like they want to play at home.
Yeah.
But when City and Liverpool and Arsenal come, they'll change tactically. They'll sit a lot deeper. They'll play for the draw, even at home. You know, a draw against one of the top 6 teams at home for Brentford is a good result. But they'll pick points up against an Everton, against the Fulham. So they'll be more expansive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll play more expansive. They'll open up. They'll play longer balls. They'll give possession up a little bit more because they know the opposition's not going to create chances like an Arsenal. And they'll get, you know, they'll get more points by doing that. But this season, I just feel Brentford, Liverpool are going to Brentford and Brentford going, no, we're not going to sit back. We're actually going to play our game plan. We're going to go along. We're going to do what we do against Fulham. And they're getting joy from it. And managers are actually going, whoa, I didn't see that coming. I mean, we've seen Arne Slot in press conferences going, I didn't see that coming, actually. It's like, well, you know, they are allowed to do it.
No,
they
are allowed to do it. You're right overall about. I'll bring Jose back in because Jose, you haven't had a chance to have a second bite at the cherry yet, so I'll give you that now. But just in terms of what the lads are talking about and maybe the overall picture of the league, it's very congested, the top of the Premier League table at the moment, and it feels like there's an awful lot of teams this season in that mix who will take points off each other.
Sure. I think we need to not say that the league is over, but we need to change the approach. And what I mean by that is that we need to get better first and then think how to cut any points from Arsenal or from any team that is above us. I believe that's the main or the most important thing to do now. I mean, we need to get better first and then think about the league title. Obviously, I'm still faithful about a possible 21st title, but we need to get better first. That's my opinion. I believe that we need to get better overall and also in the away games for sure. As Jason was saying before, we need to stop conceding goals in the away games. It's very important.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Federico Chiesa.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Have a boss Christmas with Liverpool FC Retail.
Shop hundreds of exclusive Liverpool FC gifts for the Reds in your life.
Buy them today
at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
Merry Christmas from LFC Retail.
You never walk alone.
We are getting straight back to the Etihad now. We've got some reaction from Mark Bernstead. He is alongside Jan Mulby. Mark.
Thank you, Becky. Yeah, we are waiting in the interview area here at the Etihad, looking to speak to some of the Liverpool group following today's performance. Jan's come down from his commentary position to give us his thoughts in the meantime. I've just been listening to the boys in the studio debate the disallowed Liverpool goal. What was your take covering the game with why it's been chalked off? And do you understand the reasoning for it? Because it feels like a big moment in this match.
Well, it is a big moment, isn't it? I mean, you know, we score a goal. You know, a penalty is one thing, isn't it? But a penalty is not scored, is it? It only gives you an opportunity to maybe score a goal. But we actually scored a goal, haven't we? And at that time, you felt that we possibly needed something from the game. The first thing you see is that you go, oh yeah, Robertson is in an offside position, isn't it? But then when you see it again, he's not in the eye line of the goalkeeper. I think it's highly controversial. I can't wait. You know, most of the times I'm not particularly bothered about what the PGMOL has to say after the end of the games, but I would like to see what their explanation would be for the reason of this goal being chalked off. I thought it was very, very controversial.
Looks like the word from the match centre is that it's an obvious action by Robertson in the eye line of the goalkeeper. Now, he does make a movement, but it's a movement to duck out the way, not to play the ball. And if you look at it, it doesn't feel like it impacts on Donnarumma's movement. He's already gone to make the dive. So it feels a bit different to maybe what that wording is intended for someone trying to play the ball and score.
Yeah, I mean, 100% we can be sure. I mean, take the penalty, I can't be sure that Mamad has really touched Jeremy Doku. What I can be sure of is that Robbo had no intention of playing that ball. You know, he made no movement towards trying to play the ball and whatsoever. But I fully understand also that the goalkeeper, the fact that he's there, might impact his decision-making. But as I said before, Let's see what they got to say. It was highly controversial. It was part of the story of the game, but it wasn't the whole story.
Exactly, that's it, isn't it? It could have had an impact on the narrative at that point, but in the bigger picture of things, what did you make of what Liverpool did to affect City today?
Well, we didn't do enough, that's for sure. And I thought, when I saw the City lineup, and I thought, well, OK, the plan is pretty clear, how do you want to play? And I thought they were very successful with that in the first half, with Cherki keep stepping inside and making an extra man in midfield, and that gave him an overload. And they were managed to play through our press. I mean, we started and we wanted to be aggressive. We almost pressed in a 4-2-4 formation, but they managed to play through it because they had so many technically good players in those areas, and that served them well. There's a little bit of luck involved with the goals, you know, on another day. They might not have gone in, but in the end, certainly in the first half, City were by far the better team.
How much was it down to the way City executed their game plan and us struggling to deal with it? And how much was it about us just not being quite well equipped to do what we wanted to do today?
Obviously, we'd worked on what we wanted to do in the game, and I think we were adamant that that's how we were going to play, and that's how we played for the first half, and that just didn't work. And maybe at some stage we might have been able to do something different. We didn't. We continued in that manner, and it served City better than it served us. I thought right from the word go in the second half, you could see that things had slightly changed, and they dropped further back, and we had the ball a lot more, isn't it? There wasn't the same domination. But that sort of midfield three, midfield four that dominated the game in the first half gave us too many problems, and at times it was too easy.
We did have a bit more of the ball, as you mentioned, because City did drop back a little bit late on, and naturally within the game we pushed a little bit. But is there an argument we had to be sharper and a bit less sloppy at times? There were a few offsides and things in the closing stage were on our day that they don't happen.
Yeah, and I'm also looking at maybe a clearer picture of how we want to create chances. You know, how are we going to go about creating chances and scoring goals? Go back to City and how they want us to play. It was pretty clear what their plan was. And I'm looking at our plan and I'm thinking, when we get into positions with our wide men, are you capable of putting a cross in, across the goal? Where is our second and third options? And they weren't quite there. So there is, not unsurprisingly, because we're not having a great run at the moment, not unsurprisingly, there's things that need to be worked with.
Just finally, is the issue from today that it isn't today, because the result here could always happen against the quality of side you're playing? It's what's happened previously, and it's the five defeats now that starts to become the problem, rather than just what's happened this afternoon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That risk you run every time you play Manchester City, because they're capable. But the problem you've got now is that what is required? What is the demands for you to get back in to the race? And I do, somewhere along the line, I do feel that Liverpool need to be in the race, considering we won the title last year, and with the investment that we've had, we need to be in that title race. And to do that, from now on in, because of the results and the five defeats, it requires a massive, massive big effort. And we have to try and find a solution to some of the problems we've got. There's an international break now, so the manager can't work with the players. And we know what the next game is going to be like, a low block Sean Dyche team, which is going to be another frustrating afternoon, I guess. And so there is things that we need to work on, and we need to work them out pretty quick.
Yeah, they certainly do. Great stuff, Jan. Yeah, more to come from Jan a little bit later in the programme. For the moment, it's back to you, Becky.
Thank you both. Fingers crossed, Mark can bring us some reaction from inside the Liverpool dressing room. For now, though, let's take a look at all the results across the Premier League over the course of this weekend. And there was late drama at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Spurs thought they had won that game, but Manchester United equalised thanks to De Ligt's 96th minute header to share the spoils. Everton got back on track with a 2-0 win against Fulham. Three other goals disallowed for the Blues yesterday. West Ham got a big 3 points with a late winner 3-2 over Burnley. And more late drama, yet more this time for Sunderland as they equalised in injury time 2-2. That finished with, of course, leaders Arsenal. And it was fairly straightforward for Chelsea. They won 3-0 over Wolves, who currently sit bottom of the Premier League. Moving on to Sunday, four different scorers as Aston Villa notch up a fourth consecutive home league win, 4-0 over Bournemouth. Igor Thiago scored a late double as Brentford came from behind to defeat Newcastle 3-1. Crystal Palace and Brighton ended 0-0, and Nottingham Forest came from behind to beat relegation rivals Leeds United 3-1. That is their first Premier League win under Sean Dyche, and potentially tease them up, he will feel quite nicely for a trip to Anfield in a couple of weeks' time, Jason.
Just to say, what do you notice about all them results? Not one away victory in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So we're talking about how difficult it is to get away victories, and obviously we've had a tough one there at City. Not one team in the Premier League has gone away and won this weekend.
Yeah, you are right. Should we see what it means for the top of the Premier League as a whole? It means this. Arsenal's lead at the top has been cut by Manchester City, at least. Liverpool down in eighth, but it's still incredibly tight, isn't it, in that chasing pack. And then moving on to the bottom half of the table. Big wins, as we just showed you, for West Ham and Forest over the teams just above them, Wolves without a boss and a win. I think overall, Jason, when we go back and maybe we can show you the top of the Premier League table again, because it feels like not only a missed opportunity, as we said, to build on midweek, but to put some pressure on the likes of Arsenal, of course, too, after they dropped points up at the Stadium of Light.
I was talking to my mate on the way in, yeah, we were discussing the game, and he said, had Arsenal won yesterday, it's a must win for Liverpool today to stay in touching distance. But because of the drew, he went, I'd take a draw today. And do you know what? I was with him. I felt today it was just a don't lose. Don't lose with all, like you just said, the momentum, the feel-good factor off the back of the two great results we've had and the performances. It would have been, that's nice to get through them three games and not lost the final one. But unfortunately, you know, 3-0 away to City, it kind of feels like a step back where a draw just would have, we would have been okay with a draw.
I think you would have felt a draw a positive result, Mels. But, you know, you're looking at the gap there, it's 8 points now. But it's what you don't want is to start feeling cut adrift, isn't it? Which we're not at that stage at the moment, but a few more weeks and a couple of, you know, disappointing results to come and that would potentially get to that stage.
Well, it's a sizeable gap as it is. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think the problem has been, you've looked at Arsenal and you've seen the consistency that they've produced. You're thinking, well, where are they going to slip up? And then we saw yesterday them drop a couple of points late on away at Sunderland. And that, like you say, gave us a little bit of hope to think that a point wouldn't be a bad result away at City today. But it's a sizeable gap and a little bit unusual because it's been either ourselves or City at the top. But we're both trying to chase Arsenal. And they have been so consistent so far. You're just hoping that maybe another international break might disrupt a little bit of momentum for them. They have been the best side in the Premier League so far this season. There is a long way to go. And in terms of injuries, a little bit of loss of form, those sort of things, it may well hit Arsenal. They're not used to being at the top of the table in terms of pushing to win the league. So a long way to go. It's just a blow that it's an international break. I feel a little bit flat. I was on Tuesday night when I left Anfield, we were buzzing. Absolutely. We just beat Real Madrid. They've got a chance to win the Champions League. And now feeling a little bit flat now. 2 weeks to wait for another game.
You know, the piece I read today, the data piece where I was telling you about 95, 96, it was really interesting actually because the guy, he'd done this data analysis on movement after 10 or 12 games because that's when they feel it, everything settles down. Unfortunately, after 12 games, there's not a lot of movement between now and the end of the season. I think only seven teams moved last season from where they were at the 12th game. Only seven teams. I think the biggest mover was Tottenham that actually fell. I think they were seventh around this time last, and then they just fell, didn't they? But there's only seven teams that moved. There's not a lot of movement, not a lot of big movement. I do think this season, though, after everything we've said, it is a different season to what we've had over the last six or seven.
Feels
eight,
like
nine.
The landscape's changed.
Yeah,
quite,
it's
quite
changed. Yeah, there will be points dropped all over the place. I don't think it'll be a normal season. In that respect, I still think Liverpool have got a couple of fingers on the title challenge.
I think also, just to say, when you look at the league table, you don't think, there's some top sides there as well. I'm looking at that and going,
I don't think Arsenal have won it.
I'm also looking at Sunderland, Villa, United, thinking, they ain't going to finish above us. So I don't feel as though they're really going to have a top season. So I feel as though we can start getting it. You do? You don't agree with that one?
Well, you've got to win games, haven't you? At the minute,
right, should we break this up and hear from the boss? Arne Slot has been speaking to Mark Benstead.
On never easy to come to City. What do you make of the performance overall this afternoon, though?
Very, very difficult for us throughout the whole first half. They brought many players in between the lines. We struggled a lot with Doku and O'Reilly on their left side. Offensively, when we had the ball, it was hard for us to bring the ball out from the back. And if we played long, we were not able to keep the ball or hold the ball. So we were actually 45 minutes or 52 because he added 7 minutes of extra time. Under a lot of pressure, we had to defend a lot. Which, you know, when you go to City, you maybe expect to do a little bit more yourself also. And then, of course, a crucial decision against us didn't help us as well.
Yeah, on that decision, it wasn't the only reason why the result was what it was, but it was a big moment in the game. It could have changed the trajectory of the game at that point. The wording from the Premier League is it was an obvious action by Andy Robertson in the eye line of the goalkeeper that changed the decision. Do you think that explains it, or is the argument he didn't change Donnarumma's moving? He was already playing for the ball.
Yeah, the line of the ball was completely clear. Donnarumma just made the save he wanted to make, but he couldn't reach the ball. So, this was a wrong decision, but there will always be one or two persons who then come up and tell us that it was the right decision. But immediately after the game, I saw City's goal last season against Wolves, which the same referee, by the way, after he went to the screen, allowed, and now he didn't. So, but as you said, We will never know if that would have influenced the result, because in the first 40 minutes before we scored the 1-1, we thought we scored the 1-1, they were much better. So maybe that would have kept the same in the second half and they were able to win. So I'm not standing here saying that that moment have impacted the result, but it was, in my opinion, the wrong decision made by the officials.
You obviously now lose the boys for international duty, the vast majority of them. What do you look to focus on, prioritise when they return? What areas do you think Liverpool have to sharpen up on from their point of view to get that consistency of results again?
Nah, it's a bit hard to say, but the week started really well for us. Two wins, two very good wins, and then go away to the Etihad is always a difficult one. For any team in the league, also for us. I can understand it's very hard for our fans to see anything positive from a 3-0 loss, but what I can see as something positive is the way we showed ourselves the second half after the disappointments we faced during the game. The first one and the most difficult one probably being outplayed in the first 45 minutes. Then in the second half they kept trying to score a goal and maybe then we could have done something. So they didn't give up, that's something positive, as they haven't done at all throughout the whole season. But it's clear that at this moment of time, other teams are better than us, and we have to work really hard to see where we are after 19 games. Because for me, 19 games gives a fairer reflection of where we are than where we are now. Because I will not use it as an excuse, but we've faced already a lot of teams that are on the top side of the table. But we've also lost Brentford away, who are not there. So every single game is difficult. We have to take the positives from this week, especially from the beginning of the week, into the period we are going into after the international break.
I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Honest Lot always offers a very honest and fair assessment, Jason. As we said earlier on in the show, there are still positives to take from this week, which can't be forgotten despite the disappointment today.
It's his job to work out, you know, how to deal with the negatives, of course it is, but the spin he needs to put on everything is the positive, and there is positives. What I mean by that is it's his job to figure out, you know, the things that went wrong, they're the negatives. It's his job, you know, he gets paid big bucks to do it, he's the manager of Liverpool, that's his job. And we spoke about that before. Listen, he's in a very difficult position, probably one he's never been in before. He's a very good manager, he's very calm, he's very collected. You know, now's not the time, you know, to start worrying about things. Let him do his job. You know, let him do his job. He's very, very good at it. He speaks well. He handles things well. I'm sure behind the scenes, he's well respected. You know, he will figure it out. He will figure it out, him and his staff. But it's his job to come out in front of everybody and just put a positive spin on it. And that's what he's done there. I thought he was honest in his assessment. But he's right. We need to focus on the positives. It's been a tough week, but it's been a really good week.
And it could have been worse. You know, when we went into that Villa game last weekend,
no one knew what was going to happen.
Where's the result coming from? Mm. And Anfield really
came. That was a real must not lose, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but the crowd really got behind the players and the players responded. And then again against Real Madrid. So it made everyone feel a lot better. And so the performance today is a real low. And I think you mentioned that in terms of what had been a good week, which is disappointing. He's got to find solutions. I think the big thing, we keep coming back to it, you look at the players Liverpool have, and a lot of them won the Premier League last year. There's a lot of quality there. There's been change this summer. Players leaving, players coming in. There's a lot left to play for this season. There is so much left to play for. People will argue whether we're still in the title race or not, I don't know. But Europe as well. We can still make a success of this season. And as much as we're disappointed now because it doesn't feel great to lose away at City, loads left to play for.
Let's ask our fan panel on that, because, Alex, we're trying to end on a positive note here, and I think Mels has just done that quite well. There is plenty still to play for this season, and amongst that is still possibly the title as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're out of the Carabao Cup. I think if you won today, if Liverpool won three out of three of the last three, you would have said, well, actually, that decision to play a weakened team against Southampton has paid off. It clearly hasn't today. Maybe there was room for some changes. So that's gone now. The FA Cup, obviously, is something that we should always be aiming to win. The Champions League, you know, as long as Liverpool navigate and sail through, really, the rest of the group with some more favourable home fixtures, then that should be something that we can go all gung-ho at. But the Premier League, for me, I think Arne Slot makes a really good point. When we were 8 points clear at this time last season, no Liverpool fan really was thinking this is wrapped up, this is done. So now it's the opposite of that. We're 8 points behind. So the mentality, if you flip reverse that, should be, well, it still isn't done. But if Liverpool can't get through the next period up until Christmas without putting a run together, going into the new year, you could even see City and Arsenal pulling away, which is obviously not what we need and want. So it's about refocusing and going again for the Forest game, which will be very difficult. Sean Dyche is going to make it horrible to play at Anfield. So, yeah, I'm still hopeful. I think there's still some kind of run to go on, which could amount to something. But I think Jose makes a good point. Get better first, go under the radar a little bit, start notching your wins up. And then, you know, Christmas time, we can look at it if it is in a positive light. If it isn't, then you'd have to say it's, you know, a poor season. But, you know, we have to remain positive. I agree with Jason on the sofa there. You have to be behind the manager at this stage. Let him get on with it. He'll go back to the drawing board and find a plan, because plan A, B and C and maybe even D with 5 Premier League defeats and 6 isn't working at the minute. But I'm still hopeful, of course.
Stephanie, I'll come to yourself. Overall, you're still feeling quite optimistic about what's to come? There's plenty of football still to be played.
I mean, we've just played the 11th game of the Premier League season. We still have quite a bit to go. I really trust Arne Slot and the managerial team. So I can trust that the next couple of weeks they're really going to lock in and make a plan. We still have phenomenal talent that it just seems like we quite haven't figured out how to place them very well into the team yet. They're still working on their communication, their relationship with the other players. So the talent is there. I just think we need to give them some more time to lock in and work on their chemistry. So the hope is still very much alive.
Jose, Stephanie is still very, very optimistic about what Liverpool can achieve this season. What about yourself and looking at the overall picture?
Yeah, I believe, as Alex and Stephanie said, I feel very optimistic that we are going to get better, and that will allow us to get confidence, and that way we will get better in the table as well. But also, very important, there are a lot of new players coming into the team, and they have to get used to it, right? They have to get used to everything in the environment around Liverpool. So as Jason said, let the manager do his job. Also, we have the players, we have quality in the team, so I'm pretty sure we will get better, but we will need a little bit more time this season. Last season was a very different environment, a very different circumstances. So let's take all the positive things, let's take all the quality we have, and let's get better. Let's get some wins, and let's get confidence to get through this.
Thank you very much, guys. We're heading back to the Etihad now. Mark Benstead is once again with Jan Molby. Mark.
Thank you, Becky. Welcome back to the Etihad. As you've touched on in the studio, next up is an international break for the players to deal with. Club business is put to one side. Jan, I just wonder what you would focus on if you were Arne Slot when those players return from being away with their countries.
I actually think it's a pretty difficult question. I mean, what do you prioritise, results or performances? In an ideal world, you want to prioritise both of them. We need wins to keep in amongst the top four, certainly at the top four, but we really want to get closer to Manchester City and Arsenal. But we're also still searching for the right balance. We spoke a lot about the balance after the Aston Villa and the Real Madrid game, and then today I think it's a little bit of a step back. There's things we need to look at again, and you also need to look at the new players and what part will they play, not short, long term, but short term. You know, what is the idea? Andrew Robertson started the last 3 games. Is just that the way we go for the next 2 or 3 months, I don't know. So there's a lot to think about. The problem he's got, Arne Slot, is he will have all the time in the world to think about it, but he won't have an awful lot of time to do anything about it because of the international break.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the dilemmas for modern-day managers in particular. But I suppose he will have the time to do the analysis, look at what has worked in these last few games and what hasn't. You mentioned that sort of consistency of selection. That has been something that's been there over the last week or so. Is there an argument? Look, it's stick with it and try and force through this difficult spell rather than chopping and changing the personnel again. fitness permitting, off the back of the international game?
Yeah, I think that's always the preferred solution, isn't it? To go with what you've seen over the last few weeks, and I hope it's going to last. Whether it will or not, I don't know. But the only thing I will say, if you look at the fixtures we've got coming up, they are pretty easy games to prepare yourself for, because you know exactly what you're going to get. You know exactly what you're going to get from Nottingham Forest. You know exactly what you're going to get from the likes of West Ham, even PSV Eindhoven. When they come to Anfield, you know exactly what you're going to get. They're going to come and play, and it's going to be an open game. So the games are quite easy to prepare yourself for. And this is a massive thing, you also know that you're better than all those teams. You come here today, it's very much a 50-50 game. It was a very much a 50-50 game on Tuesday against Real Madrid. But in the next few games, we know we're better than the opposition. We can prepare for being the better team in those games and finding a solution and ways, getting the results as well as trying to improve the play.
I guess the poster boy for consistent selection and sticking with something is Florian Wirtz. Mm-hmm. I guess he's the person people will look at and say, look, he's indicative of what the manager is doing. In the defeat today, it's hard to pick out good things, but there were a few moments from him this afternoon which show what he can bring.
Yeah, he does things, and not all of those things came off, but he does things, you go, yeah, okay, this is the reason that we've signed him. He sees things that nobody else sees. There is a massive difference when you join the Premier League from playing home games to playing away games. It's much more difficult to play in away games, so the next couple are at home. That will certainly help him, isn't it? But yeah, I think he's at that level now, isn't it, where physically, what he's going to bring physically, I think he's up to speed with that. Now he just needs to calm down and be able to show people what he's capable of.
And just finally, how distracting is it when you look at the league table in a position that Liverpool find themselves, having been at the top of things so much last season?
Yeah, I think it will cause a certain amount of stress, that's for sure. It's not just the gap, but it's also the fact that we're eighth. That's a long way down. We didn't expect to be there after 11 games, that's for sure. In terms of points, there isn't an awful lot up to third place. But nevertheless, we're looking at the table going, we shouldn't be here. We know we got the players. You sign good players or great players, you always got a chance in it. Now we've just got to get a little bit more from everybody, and I think we'll be okay.
Christophe Yenye, that is the hope, that's the expectation. Things for the manager to work on. He has the international break to have a plan in place when the boys come back from being away with their countries.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark and Jan, over at the Etihad. Let's show you the run of fixtures that awaits on a slot side after the international break on the other side of these 2 weeks. As we mentioned earlier on, it is Nottingham Forest first, then PSV in the Champions League. A run of three Premier League games after that. West Ham away, Sunderland at Anfield, Leeds at Elland Road, followed by a big trip to the San Siro to take on Inter. Then it's back to the Premier League for the rest of the year. Brighton at home, Spurs away. And our final game of the season sees Wolves come to Anfield. No Boxing Day match for Liverpool this year. That is played on the 27th of December. I mean, two Champions League games aside, Jace, they will all be tough, but maybe feels like, without wanting to jinx things, a better run of fixtures awaits coming up.
Do you think?
Well, I'm asking you if you think. I think on paper, but then that's always a rookie error to look at things on paper.
Yeah, it is this season, yeah. And I think you touched on it before, Sean Dyche. You know, if there's one game you're coming into off the back of the international break, having changes in your mind and who personnel is fit, Sean Dyche, you know, the fight he's going to want to put up against you, ex-Everton.
He would dearly love to
get one over.
Got with it, Anfield with Everton, didn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly. And he's looking for an upturn himself, isn't he? So there's that. Then we get a breather in the Champions League, which, you know, has been quite fortuitous for us this season. The Champions League, it's been quite good. West Ham, they have a good result yesterday. You know, they're fighting for their lives as well. Looking for a turnaround, that's going to be a fight. Sunderland, what a result, you know, and how they're going.
Yeah.
Sunderland are home now. I mean, you are looking at your home fixtures, Bex, as ones that you should see wins, which then give you a platform to go away.
You are, but you're looking at maybe some winnable away games in there as well, are you not?
On paper, yeah. It looks so easy on
paper. I can only
look
at it on paper at the moment, but Mel's very quickly from you, your thoughts?
I'm looking at that and thinking there's a lot of games coming up, isn't there? Only Brighton, Tottenham, there's a little bit of a breather. So there's a midweek game in between every single one of them. He's going to have to rotate the squad. I think a couple of the fans mentioned it about there's still hope there, but we need to start putting a run together and getting some results. Some games you think we should be winning, the way things are at the moment, I'm not sure.
We shall see. Hopefully what we think might happen on paper will actually happen in real life. We shall see over the next few weeks. Right, that is it from myself, from Jason McAteer, Neil Mellor in the studio, and Jan as well over in Manchester with Mark Benstead. And of course, to our Zoom guests as well, a big thanks to Alex, Stephanie and Jose on the fan panel. So frustration at the Etihad after what's been such a good week, hasn't it? We hope for better on the other side of this international break. Liverpool will, of course, regroup and go again. That is all for this episode of The Reaction. We are back though after the international break with the best of LFC TV's post-match show from Nottingham Forest visit to Anfield on the 22nd of November. If you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. Thanks for being with us.